In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. To thee, O Lord, have I lifted up my soul. In thee, O my God, I put my trust. Let me not be ashamed, neither let my enemies laugh at me, for none of them that wait on thee shall be confounded. These were the words of our introit taken from Psalm 24. A complete and total trust in the Lord as we give everything about ourselves over to the Lord. Our readings on this first Sunday of Advent, in a very real way, continue the themes that concluded our liturgical year. A reminder of our need to put aside sin and darkness and to walk as children of light. I remember as a young priest, many of the older people at that time often spoke about how much they liked the post-conciliar church, precisely because we no longer spoke about sin or darkness or hell. Since I had no real lived experience with what they had experienced prior to the Second Vatican Council, I took their word that the church was beset with this ongoing conversation about sin and hell and darkness and death, and that's all there ever was. And so here we were now, an enlightened and set free people in the joy and the sun of the Second Vatican Council. As I have grown older, I have begun to miss days that I have not known and to welcome yet again the proclamation of these realities that are true. And I've come to understand why the church, if indeed their understanding was correct, I have come to understand why the church felt compelled to remind us about sin and sacrifice, heaven and hell, and the need to put all of these things aside and to embrace life in God in Christ. Because when, brothers and sisters, we do not lift up our souls to heaven, when we forget to contemplate the glories of God to come and the sins that oftentimes beset us and weigh us down, it becomes very easy to live in this world only for this world, over and over again, duplicating the sins that should be pushed asunder. But instead, we embrace them as if they indeed are right, and this is the manner in which we should live our lives. If the church yet again takes up the clarion call to remind us of putting aside sin, not allowing ourselves to be given over, as St. Paul reminds the Romans, to debauchery, to wantonness, to revelry, to drunkenness, I suspect if there were a more firm and clear and constant proclamation of this, an exhortation to live rightly in the sight of God, to not be worried about the things to come because I have indeed lifted up my soul to the Lord, that we might see a world that is different. And if not a different world, then certainly a different church. A church that is convinced of the power of Christ and therefore is not afraid, is not anxious, but finds its trust and its confidence in God and in Him alone. A church that is not ashamed to preach who she is, regardless of what the world may actually say about her. A church that truly is a beacon of light in the midst of the darkness of the world. Is it possible for us to create earth on earth heaven? It may seem that it is an impossibility, but after all, our Lord, who we now celebrate in His coming as we begin this Advent season, begin another year of grace and favor. Our Blessed Mother, of course, the perfect exemplar after our Lord, all of the holy men and women who have gone before us, would seem to suggest to us that indeed we have within us, by the power of God's grace, the capacity to live as we ought to live and to make here on earth the reality of the truths of God present for men to see. If indeed, brothers and sisters, that is not the case, then the question becomes, why are we doing what we're doing? Why go through all the things that we are enduring if somehow we cannot literally transform the world in which we find ourselves and make it not just a little bit better than it was before, but to make it that which God intends it to be, that which in truth it actually has become by an outpouring of grace in the mystery of the Lord's cross? These are not rhetorical things, conceits to simply spew forth from our mouths, but not allow them to actually impact our lives. And so again, back to what we began Holy Mass with. I lift up my soul to the Lord. I find my trust in Him, and my enemies are confounded because of my confidence in the Lord. Do you actually believe this? And if you shake your head, yes, of course, I believe. Good for you. The next question, a more important question is your life governed by what it is that you believe? Are your actions, your interior disposition, the manner in which you interact with the world, especially those with whom you might find it difficult to interact, are all of those reflective of a man, a woman, a child of God who has given himself, herself over to the Lord, has lifted up their soul and finds their confidence in the Lord? This is something that we must contemplate throughout our Advent season. These days of preparation, these days of waiting, these days of anticipation are all in preparation for the coming of our Lord. That kind of tripartite reality that is part of the Advent season. To prepare for the coming of our Lord at the end of time. To recall the inbreaking of God in time and history when he was born in the flesh. And to accept the reality of God in our daily lives in this precise moment. The beauty of the church is she doesn't say pick one or the other, but actually she says to us, lean into all three of those. That which is, that which will be, and that which was. And realize that what holds and binds past, present, and future is a loving God who enjoins us to find our trust and our confidence in Him and in Him alone. As I often say to you, I stand before you not as a perfect practitioner, but in very real ways, a complete and total failure at the very exhortations that I enjoin you to embrace. How easy it is to give in to anxiety and fear and worry. How easy it is to allow the darkness of the world to lead me more deep into darkness and to sin. All the while enjoining you to lift up your souls, to trust in the Lord, and I turn again and again to the things of the world, trying to make sense of the things of God through the eyes of men. What a foolishness on my part. What a foolishness for all. If we try to understand the things of God by that which we see, instead of understanding the things of God as He Himself has taught us. This has always been a difficult task, hence God's love for us and providing grace poured out upon grace. The age in which we live at times makes it even more difficult. But as we know and proclaim, nothing is impossible for God. And so, brothers and sisters, as we begin yet again, what is it that will be new and different for you in your relationship with the Lord? What darkness must you lay aside in order to be the child of light that God has gained for you by the shedding of His blood? What fears and anxieties must you give over into the hands of the Lord that your life may be made manifest by a peace that comes from proclaiming with confidence, I lift up my soul to the Lord, and in Him and in Him alone I find my trust. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.